Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. Obviously, it is it's a sad day and we have a lot to talk about, and we will talk about all of this stuff. Just a little bit of a few family things to get through. First of all, we want to thank everybody for the amazing fun drive. You never know when you start one if you're actually going to be back in a week, and we are. So it was pretty amazing, wasn't it, Alan?
Well, I got to tell you, the only thing I can tell you is that we're all filled with one single word, and that is gratitude. I mean, we're so grateful that everybody gets it and understands how communal all of this is. And you have, folks. And no matter how many people called again and again and again, people were saying they love the panel on the roundtable. Go figure that out.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing they said was they can't wait for Rosemary to get back.
They did.
And we are very happy to have Rosemary back today.
I'm really back. What a month of news and events, and I couldn't talk about it. I've just chewed off the air of all my students.
You look great,
by the way. I'm tan.
Yes, you're very tan. It's lovely.
So real quickly, before we get into the heavy lifting of this morning and talking about what happened yesterday, where were you? This was quite a trip.
It was a major trip. I went with Professor Thomas Bass at the University of Albany, and we did training for investigative reporting, which is virtually unknown in the part of the world where we were, which was Tunisia in northern Africa and Mali in western Africa.
Wow.
And we also started off talking about election coverage in Amman, Jordan, to journalists from seven countries in the Middle East. Yeah. And you know the number one thing I learned? I can't wait for Rich to be on the show to talk to him about this. They are so thankful and happy that Barack Obama made the Iran nuclear deal. For the first time, they say, America is showing signs that they get it, that Saudi Arabia is the source of all evil, that we're switching to Shia support instead of Sunni support.
Is that true?
There's an argument to be made, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
That this ISIS stuff, and we'll be talking about it, and terrorism, it all stems from the Saudi influence on the world.
You say Saudi, I said Saudi.
Isn't there a song about this? You say
tomato, potato.
Because the Tonys were this week. Did you get my Tony reference?
Yes, it was very good.
Okay.
Very good.
I'm getting back into the swing.
Nobody knows more about that than Joe, but I want you to know that our daughter-in-law came down to New York with our boy Jonas, and they walked right in and got their tickets to Hamilton.
Oh, man.
For free.
I'm the only person in America who hasn't seen
because
two of us, we need to
go. Because it turns out that her first cousin is the lead dancer.
Isn't that something? Wow.
That's how you get them.
It's
knowing somebody.
Right.
Libby Post is also with us, a political consultant. And Libby, we missed you, and it's nice to have you back.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be back.
All right. So let us begin with the story from yesterday, of course, that we've been talking about all day yesterday, as well as this morning on WAMC. The basic is that a man by the name of Omar Mateen, 29 years old, is believed to be the gunman behind the worst mass shooting in U.S. history. Pledged alliance to the Islamic State before carrying out Sunday's early morning rampage at a gay nightclub in Orlando that left 50 dead and more than 50 wounded. Mr. Mateen was born in New York. He was living in Florida. He was twice investigated for possible ties to terrorism, but he wasn't under surveillance at the time of the shooting. He legally bought an assault rifle and handgun in the days before the massacre. The process is winding down and identifying the victims, although it does continue this morning. Obviously, anxious family members are waiting for updates. They have released the names of, I think 48.
There's one
50,
more to go.
Of the victims.
They said this morning was 49 people.
But that didn't count the shooter, right? I think they meant 50 dead.
One is the shooter.
They didn't want to call him a victim, obviously.
Right. President Obama expressed outrage about the attack, lamented that they had become familiar in his 8 years in office, I believe the 13th shooting, major mass shooting. And we'll get into that definition in a moment. Vigils were held across the U.S. Last night, and also, and then there's the campaign. So there's a lot to talk about on this story, and we will. And then there was the story about how the candidates reacted. And Donald Trump once again called for a ban on Muslim migration to the United States. Several tweets that came out this in the same weekend where Meg Whitman, who was a major Republican donor as well, compared him to Hitler and Mussolini, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell left open the possibility of rescinding his endorsement. So we'll get on all of that in a moment, but let's talk about what happened at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando and the fact that it is obviously an act of terrorism, and we know a lot, but there's still obviously a lot more to know. I'll let you go first, Rosemary. It's been a long time.
We're already getting letters, by the way, saying welcome back.
Oh,
Rosemary.
Thank you. That's great. But I actually said today is my first day back, and I just want to hear Libby. I think this is – Libby earlier this week had a post on Facebook saying, I'm going to sit back and just be a spectator at Gay Pride this month.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to happen now. This is a reminder that you think you've made so much progress, and here we fall back again. I've just come from a place that wants to ban Americans coming in because we are a dangerous place. People. This is a horrible, uncalled for, ridiculous thing. I know we'll end up talking about gun control and the rest of it. This was a man who was in the radar of the FBI. They spoke to him twice, and there wasn't enough to hold him on. I get that. But then he goes in and legally buys a gun.
That's the problem.
It's all computerized. Why can't they just say, no, this is a man we're watching. Why is he buying a gun?
Well, here's my question. I'm sorry, Olivia, but this has also been the one of the big debates, of course, has been a waiting period. And
right.
if you had a waiting period in
you
place here,
right.
you would know a lot more about this gentleman, right. Well, this person.
The other part of it is that the NRA is against banning people who are on those watch lists.
Yes.
They're against banning them from getting
right.
guns.
You're so taking away their constitutional
yeah, right,
rights
right. So
on
they
the basis
should be able to get guns.
Yeah.
You know,
Ridiculous.
We shouldn't be able to have abortions. People shouldn't be able to get married. But people need to be able to get their guns. I mean, yes, I said I wanted to sit on a stoop on Saturday and watch the parade because I never get to watch it, and we got rained out, and so I didn't even get to do that. But, you know, this was a homophobic attack wrapped in ISIS's flag. I mean, you know, I don't care what anybody says around this. This man was homophobic. This attack was predicated, as his father had said, because he saw two men kissing and holding each other's hands in Miami, and he was furious about that. You know, this was homophobia, plain and simple. He wanted to kill gay people who were Americans. Yes, we were all Americans. There's this whole debate I'm having with some friends on Facebook about whether this is just an attack on America or attack on gays. We're all gay Americans. The fact of the matter is, the people who died in the church in South Carolina were African-American Americans. They were
right.
Black Americans. Right. You know, the children who died in Sandy Hook were
babies.
First grader Americans, you know. I mean, we are who we are. We are Americans. But this man targeted this club because it was an LGBT club. He had to have known it was Pride. Everyone knows June is Gay Pride Month and all the things that are going on. And Orlando's a pretty gay city, you know. And so this was pure and simple a homophobic act that killed 49 people in my community. You know, people are reeling. On one hand, we're celebrating mm-hmm. Pride, and on the other hand, we're mourning the death of these people.
Mm-hmm. Alan.
Well, I'm fascinated by a couple of things. First of all, the Daily News, which used
yes.
to be an anathema,
right.
is now
it's
my
great.
Favorite newspaper because
yes.
you know, their headline was attributing this all to the NRA. It was
yes.
I don't remember the exact words, but it was, you know.
It was
wow.
definitely, yes, all to the
yeah.
NRA.
Like,
yes.
Thank you, NRA.
Yeah,
that's right.
yeah, this is
right.
on your
right.
hands.
Yeah,
right.
so, and I thought that was great. I was also fascinated, naturally, because of who I am, at the response from Hillary Clinton, we need gun control,
mm-hmm.
and from Donald Trump, which says, I told you so. I told you these Muslims were going to do it, and I've been right all along. He is really disgusting.
He is
and
fascist.
You know, that is just
awful.
So awful.
Yes.
And
then he calls for the president to resign because he didn't say the words
and
radical
Hillary,
Islam.
Hillary should get
right
out because
of the
she
race.
Didn't say
and that's
it
another
either.
Thing.
Ridiculous.
And that's another
this
thing.
This is not about that.
This is another thing, and that is we are now going to get a round of the blame game,
mm-hmm.
And who is responsible? Okay, so the FBI has this guy on their watch list, right?
Right.
Well, yes.
No.
Well, yes. He was. Just to be clear, he was. There is an FBI. There is a watch list, and he was under surveillance and was in. I believe was interviewed three times, mm-hmm. two or three times,
mm-hmm. yep.
but was not currently as of the time of the shooting was not under surveillance by the FBI.
My point is, he goes into a gun store and he buys the gun.
AR-15 rifle, right. which was the same rifle, which, by the way, does anyone in this room know how much an AR-15 costs?
No. Do you?
$1,200.
Wow.
That's a lot of money, right?
Well, for a guy who's a security guard,
It's not a riding mower.
Well, if he's on his credit card, he doesn't have to worry about paying for it.
So it's $1,200. It's $1,200. There are 30 rounds and a standard clip. It has a 16-yard maximum range. It was the same weapon that was used in Sandy Hook by Adam Lanza. It also was the same weapon used by Syed Farouk in San Bernardino.
Okay, so if I can, just for a second, bear with me. We go back to the blame game, and we see... Trump is using it for whatever he can to blame the president and blame everybody else. The FBI, of course, is going to get some blame here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be taking a look at things like reporting. So and this is where I was going to go. He goes into a store, a couple of flicks of the fingers on a board say, no, this guy shouldn't get it because he's been under investigation
mm-hmm.
by
our
agency. Let us just hope that somehow something good comes out of this, which is that that people will say, okay, this is terrible. Now, what I'm afraid of here is that, you know, because he was playing to the anti-gay, playing the anti-gay card, Trump is obviously, wherever he is, you know, on this. I'm just afraid people will say, okay, it was 50 people, it was the worst in history, but it was gays.
Well, I totally agree with you. I mean, the lieutenant governor of Texas tweeted out the biblical passage, you shall reap what you sow.
However, he's come back. I
know he took it down. But
yeah.
You know, you
no, no,
well,
no. He didn't just
first.
Take it down. He only did the first verse, and that was I really believed his explanation. I think he's been slammed for that unnecessarily. The verse was picked. They regularly run the verses. They're picked ahead of time. It had no reference to it, and it didn't include the second verse, which actually would have been much worse. I don't think it was
well,
intended that way.
You know, it might not have been, but it just added fuel to the fire gave credibility to those. There's an anti-gay pastor that's all over the internet who's saying they should all be killed. We should kill all gays and lesbians and bisexual and transgender people. They're all sinners. You know, this will add to the fire and brimstone of people who hate us, period.
It certainly is a probably time to be careful and sensitive, which our presidential candidate on one side certainly was not
there
either.
Was a guy that was arrested in Santa Monica.
California,
who had guns and a bomb and bombs
and was
heading
to
the gay pride parade in West Hollywood. I mean, this is not, I think we will see now an escalation. I think there's a lot of factors here. We have the LGBT community has advanced faster than any other minority in this country. We now have gay marriage. There's a backlash to that.
Yes.
You know, Donald Trump is advocating violence at his campaign rallies. There's a cause and effect here. There's hatred. There's a cause and effect, and this is what's going to be happening.
But and I agree with you, and you're absolutely right. However, as far as those who are being the targeted, but those who are straight Americans are also being targeted by ISIS. We are the infidels. So, yes, gays and lesbians are certainly a part of it. I want to make that one point. And the other point, too, is, and this is just a small point of clarification, but it's something that I think is missing in some of the coverage, is that because of what you mentioned of Orlando being a gay-friendly city and also because of with gay rights becoming more and more prevalent, our friends are gay. And
yes,
we go to gay
right.
clubs.
That's
so that
right.
a lot of the people who are involved in this, those who were both injured as well as those who were killed, were not gay.
That's right.
They were with
yeah.
their friends going out right. to a club.
Right. So in other words, this attack will not... It will make it easier and more acceptable. I think ISIS is loving this. You know,
yeah.
wow, we got 50 people dead and they're gay.
Yes.
Two,
right.
of our,
yes.
two of our
right.
things. However, it also does build sympathy and solidarity
yes.
and a call for it. It will cut both ways.
Absolutely.
Wait, two issues. First issue is the news media is making a great deal about was this guy acting on orders from
yeah,
ISIS,
or
was he just himself?
In. Doesn't
Who
matter.
Cares?
Right. Doesn't matter. Right.
This guy, it's ISIS is responsible, obviously, because they put the call out.
I think he would have done this regardless.
Well, yeah, I mean, if ISIS said...
I think he would have.
Maybe.
I think he cloaked himself. He wrapped, you know, like some of these patriots wrapped themselves in the flag.
Yeah.
I think
it's possible.
That
it's
he
certainly
would have done
possible.
This
okay,
regardless.
Here's what he's done. He's not only acted
we have about
on
half
his own
a minute,
evil impulses, but he's gotten... He got 50 people dead and probably more if everyone doesn't survive. And he's gotten worldwide attention
That's
because
right.
he connected to terrorism. This was a highly successful mm-hmm. terrorist and hateful act.
And in the sense of the way it was reported, of calling during the attack,
right.
of
oh
calling 911
right.
and saying
here's
what
I did it.
And here's why
and
I
the
did
father
it.
Said he's a good boy
and I do not understand
the father's suspect too
yes and we have 10
we have
seconds but we also I also want to talk about because he made the link to Boston bombing
right.
which I thought
right.
was interesting as well we'll be back we have obviously a lot more to talk about next. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. We have a lot to discuss. We have many, many letters, and it is obviously we are reacting to what happened yesterday in Orlando at the Pulse nightclub and the largest single mass shooting.
Yeah.
And I don't know, was anyone else, I was surprised that that was the number, actually, meaning that it was, I thought...
That it was so even?
How
high it was, one shooter and two guns.
Wow.
And I have a friend who said it was packed.
You
fire one shot and you're hitting more than one person.
And
that's
again, it also talks to the specificity, if you will, of
right.
that particular...
The horrible weapon.
Of that
yeah,
weapon,
yeah.
right, the
and
AR-15.
And he went, there's a text message exchange between one of the victims and his mother.
Yes.
Oh my God, that was so moving.
And that they
moved
into the bathroom and he was like, he's coming in, goodbye. You know, it was like he knew where the people were and he went and deliberately
yeah.
did
also,
that. It wasn't like he just sprayed
just
the crowd. And it was packed. There was 350 people in there.
We have a lot of letters and I want to get to all of those. The one thing I do want to say though, kudos beyond belief to the Orlando authorities and the police
yes.
and the teams who responded did an amazing job.
You know, like Libby said, this actually is a gay friendly city. And
yes.
so there's no resistance. They
no.
were horrified.
Right.
And the reports of veterans who said they had never seen a scene like this.
Yeah.
I mean they probably all are going to have PTSD after
yeah.
working on this one. Awful.
Okay, Alan, let's start the process.
Mike, by the way, we won't get to all of them. We'll try to get to some of them anyway. Mike says, one of the saddest and most frustrating outcomes of this horrific event will be that the very people who seek to marginalize and limit the rights of the gay community will use the death of these innocents to push their pro-gun and racist agenda. And then Suzanne says, the gun control debate effectively ended in capital letters. In our response to Sandy Hook, we let our representatives shrug their shoulders on gun regulation, and we sent the message that the massacre of children is acceptable to protect our easy access to weapons. We can and must do better, Suzanne from Amherst. Daniel says, how about discussing all the politicians bought and paid for by the NRA who are saying that the victims of the massacre are in their thoughts and prayers, in quotes. If you believe any of them, have I got a bridge to sell you? Jeffrey says, will the lack of gun control lead to more surveillance? And Mattman says, just like healthcare...
What does that mean? I'm sorry. What does that mean? Will the lack of gun control...
gun control lead to more surveillance.
Meaning,
I think there's a whole group of people out there who are afraid that the answer to all of this will be intrusive. So, for example, when I said before that the FBI is going to get blamed for not having done more to watch this guy or to stop him, he's going to get blamed. It's going to be that all those people who believe that government is too intrusive
right.
are going to see worse. That.
Is okay, it, right. yeah. got it.
Right.
Okay.
Loss
Thank
of
you.
Civil rights.
Bill O'Gara says, you buy a hunting rifle to go hunting, buy a target shooting pistol to shoot targets. An assault rifle by its name alone should not be available to anyone outside the military. And as I said, Matt Mann said, just like healthcare, sharing information across agencies is way off. Look where the social media is, and then compare it to this, the FBI watch list that doesn't get a gun shop purchase wait list. Okay. And then Anthony says, good morning, Roundtable. This is by no means a defense for the shooter, but his investigation by the FBI was due to his job application to become a security guard. And when the FBI did their investigation, the shooter had no prior records. That's right. So we're not doing mental health. What we're doing is, if you had no prior record, you are therefore okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Kenny, I'm afraid they'll deduce that they should be able to round up people without evidence. This is exactly what I was talking about
right.
a few seconds ago,
right.
that there will be people who will see this as a possibility for the introduction of fascism of right. one kind or another. Let's see here. Ryan says, what scares me most about this is the emerging white nativist supremacist movement that's emerging immediately following this attack. We're already seeing nativists and supremacists coming out say that this is why we have to ban Muslim immigration. This reveals the true motive of some Trump supporters. They don't want a temporary ban on refugees. They want a lifetime permanent ban on immigration in general. It's scary how fast these people came out after the attack. Thomas says, no, that's a different one. Okay. And Jeff says, is this not the worst massacre in modern American history? I'm sure there have been plenty of historical massacres of Native people. That's true. In other words,
right. but it's by the single shooter.
Right.
In
well, yes, but he makes a point.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay, so Nancy says, before talking about banning Muslims, Donald Trump first congratulated himself for being right, as only a narcissist could.
Yep.
Even though, of course, the shooter was born in America and the Paris gunmen were from Belgium.
So let's just pause there for a second. So yesterday, because we wanted to talk about the Trump aspect of this. So Donald Trump yesterday morning very early after posting a tweet that said a horrific incident in Florida. Praying for all the victims and their families. When will this stop? When will we get tough, smart, and vigilant? The second tweet that came out about an hour later, appreciate the congrats for being right on radical yeah. Islamic terrorism. I don't want congrats. I want toughness and vigilance. We must be smart. And then later on, there was a whole string of tweets. What has happened in Orlando is just the beginning. Our leadership is weak and ineffective. I called it and asked for the ban. Must be tough.
Well, here's the terrible thing about this, quote, narcissism or whatever he's doing. It's very manipulative, and he will get a lot of votes as a result of this.
He knows how to manipulate people.
Well, he does.
He really does.
He is reaching for the fear that motivates everybody, whether it's in Boston mm-hmm. or in Sandy Hook or anywhere else, and saying, you see, you should listen to me. But he is not anti-gun, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, he's fully in favor of unregulated gun,
yeah.
too. Well, I mean, it's also stupid for thinking people. A ban would not have helped in this case. This guy
no.
was born in the United States.
Right.
As were the shooters in Boston.
But he'll say, but.
Stop their parents.
I wouldn't let his parents in either.
Yeah. You know, it's a little
There's
late.
Always an answer.
That's only retroactive. You
right.
know, you could
right.
throw out anybody who's come in from another
well,
place.
Well, he would want to, but this guy would be one of those people that he would round up and deport.
But yeah. I want to remind everybody in the room and everybody who's listening right now that no matter what we say about Donald Trump and his attraction to voters, he is neck and neck with Hillary Clinton in the polls.
No, that's not true,
Alan. Well, no, it is true.
He
went down a couple of points.
He went 6 points down.
That's
and the
right.
polls at this time are not there. They're not equal. He is the one Republican. She still, until this week, had been one of two. Just the fact that the Democrats are consolidating that one amazing day when you've got the president and Warren speaking boosted her without her doing anything. And it will change. The polls right now are absolutely
okay.
Meaningful.
It may
well,
change.
I've seen polls that show a 10-point spread.
Okay, let's say it's 10 points. Let's say it's 6 points. Here's my point. a lot of silent Americans are for Trump. Let's remember that. And that's what's so bad about this. It's awful. So you can say anything you want.
I just read a whole story about how Hillary's win seems a surprise to many people because her followers are not the loud, raucous, sometimes rude followers of Bernie Sanders. And in fact, many of them are afraid to say that they're for Hillary because you get all of the misogynist crap that her supporters have gotten.
So
but they went out and voted. And she won the popular vote. She won the pledged delegate vote. She won the superdelegate vote.
Rosemary, glad you're back. I'm glad you're back. But I just want to ask you something.
But.
I want to ask you something about what you just said. You don't mean to imply that anybody who's like me, who is for Bernie Sanders, is misogynist, do you?
No. I mean to imply that many Bernie Sanders followers have been troll-like, aggressive, difficult to deal with, and many Hillary supporters, older women, for one example, don't want to put up with that. They're afraid of it.
You know,
I wait, just one second. I didn't hear the word many.
I did say.
I went on Facebook last week and said, look, you know, I'm for Hillary. I've been for Hillary from the beginning. I know some of my friends are for Bernie. I don't go on your pages and write nasty things about your candidate. Stop going on mine.
Well, I would. I think Bernie's a sore loser.
I won't because it just exacerbates it all. But people are like giving me thumbs up and then continuing to do it.
Yes.
Bernie Sanders also refusing to concede the nomination.
And harmful because it helps Trump. 1/3 of his followers do not want to move to Hillary. We know this. I guess we know it from polling, which I've already put on record as not trusting. And he's what is he holding on for? What is the point? I have some friends who say, no, he's not a sore loser. He just wants to finish the game, even though he knows it's hopeless. But it's harmful.
In a situation like this, Democrats need to be united
and working against Trump.
Right. If people want Donald Trump as president, this is the way to make it happen.
Yeah.
And
I think Bernie, you said it, Libby. He's on his way to becoming a joke.
Yeah.
This is yesterday after what happened in Orlando. We are going to take our campaign to the convention with the full understanding that we are very good at arithmetic and that we know, you know, who has received the most votes up to now. However, he said we are going to continue and we will move forward until the convention. And we still believe that, what does he say? We believe we can persuade enough superdelegates and the party leaders who have overwhelmingly backed Mrs. Clinton to switch their support.
Okay, now I don't want to get into a big fight with Rosemary, who is, after all, more articulate and smarter than I am. However.
How do you like that setup, Rosemary?
Yeah, right. However, I do want to say that I'm trying to get inside the mind of Bernie. Now, you guys know that, of course, I voted for Bernie Sanders. I made that clear in the very beginning. But frankly, I've been very upset about not moving over to the Hillary thing. For whatever it's worth. But I can see what he is saying. I don't like it, but I can see it.
What's he saying?
He's saying I'm 75 years old or 74 years old. That's what he's saying. The American middle class are getting screwed. The rich are getting richer. Hillary Clinton is part of the establishment and has been for a long time. All of the economic data is showing that nobody is doing better other than the quarter of 1%ers at the top. Just one last thing. I'm going to go.
No, we've heard all this. He said this over and over again. He's a one-trick pony.
That's right, but that's the point. I'm going to go to that convention. I'm going to make that point, and I am going to get some concessions. I think that's the best reading of what you could see.
Okay, can I respond now?
Of course.
Elizabeth Warren has done it better. She has become just an attack person for Hillary, and she feels the same way as Bernie. Bernie, on the other hand, is just annoying the hell out of her. And why should she doesn't even have to pay homage to his ideas. She's got the left covered. She's now running against Trump. It's people in the center and in the far right that she's got to win over.
So what does Hillary have to do here? In other words, this is interesting to bring the third you're talking about back to vote.
Now she has to move to the left a little.
Well, let me tell you something.
She has to move to the right.
I heard an interview with Elizabeth Warren yesterday, watching a little telly. something I'm loath to do, but it was broken and we had to get it on. And so, okay, forget that part of it. And now I'm watching Elizabeth Warren and they ask her the following question. Assuming you get nominated to be the Vice President of the United States.
This was Rachel's.
Rachel Maddow.
That's right. Are you ready, and can you? You've got the competency to do the job. And she said in one word, yes.
And why? I mean, anybody asked that question who has the kind of qualifications that she has would say yes.
Okay,
Whether that's going to happen or not is another story.
Okay, so let me paint you a picture, okay? Here's a picture. Elizabeth Warren is now the attack dog, as you say, you guys say, for mm-hmm. Hillary. She's out there. Would the American people put up with somebody who is a vice president who is left of center, considerably left of center, and who is a second woman on the ballot?
As a feminist, I have to say that I am afraid. I don't think the American people would vote for two women.
No, I don't.
However,
think so.
There's no reason for Hillary to do that. She's got the left. No one on who is liberal, who's thinking, is going to vote for Donald Trump. I think she should get Sherrod Brown or one of the
Castro boys.
I had Jill Stein in here for a full hour. We're going to play it on Thursday. And she is playing every card she can to get the Bernieites to come over to her.
She's a nothing. I'm sorry. Third-party candidates don't get elected in America.
No, we know that. Including, she's playing the card, that I'll step aside and let Bernie in 50 states run at the head of the ticket. Now, if I'm wrong as to Bernie's intentions, and he really has been corrupted by whatever egotism,
that's
as you
what
suggest,
he's doing?
And the rest of it.
You think he
I'm just saying that would
after
be...
After the president?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
All right. No. So we are desperately late for break, so let's do that, and we will be right back and continue our conversation after this.
Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer. BlueHeronDining.com. Mannix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, since 1996, a web design and internet marketing firm working to help businesses get found on the internet. MannixMarketing.com. Barrington Stage Company in Pittsfield presenting a new drama, American Son, that examines our nation's racial divide through the eyes of an estranged interracial couple. June 27th through July 9th at Boyne Quinson Main Stage, BarringtonStageCO.com. And from Mango Tree Imports, a global fair trade shop in downtown Saratoga Springs, New York, featuring artisan goods from more than 60 countries, MangoTreeImports.com and on Facebook.
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel this morning. We're going to go to letters and finish up with those with comments from interjected comments from our panel members as we go through the many letters that we have and the few that we can get to in our few minutes left.
Emma says, panel, I for one was brought up to have debate. HRC will not implement the progressive platform unless Bernie pushes her to do so. That is why he is still in. Warren's a good soldier and is obedient. Here's an interesting word for
brother.
Her.
Is this a man writing this or a woman?
No, I think it's an M. I don't know. It's an M.
It just says M.
It's a man. M for male.
Warren is a good soldier and obedient. HRC does not have the left. 50% of the party does not support her agenda. Tom.
Good, then vote for Trump. That.
Her
it
agenda,
just makes no sense.
You know, equal pay for equal work, pro-choice. I mean, gay rights. What's the agenda?
Gun control.
Yeah.
Horrible,
I mean, what's the agenda here?
Tom says, Hillary is not entitled to votes from Bernie supporters. I love Rosemary, but she's being typical of Hillary supporters, who act like just because Hillary may have won, she is somehow entitled to support from Bernie voters. She is not in capital letters. If she is going to cultivate them at all, they will sit out, even if it's against their interests. The ones who do vote for her will do so without enthusiasm, without donating, without advocating for her campaign. She's being pretty haughty in the approach to this group, many of whom are not even Democrats.
She's bent over backwards.
Well, haughty is an interesting word. I've always loved haughty.
Uppity woman.
Haughty.
Right.
I knew somebody named Haughty believe it or not. Robert says that would leave a Republican governor to appoint her Senate replacement. Very this unlikely. In other
you
words,
have to say
yes,
Warren.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Also next door to.
Actually, don't you guys vote on the replacements, or would the governor? You know,
the governor in the beginning for a short period, and then you vote.
And then you vote.
And, yeah, and then you vote. Okay, and they did that on. They made that rule because Teddy Kennedy asked them to, knowing he was on his way out. So that's how that happened. And now Nancy says, I am so sick of Bernie Sanders and his followers whining about their loss and continuing to claim that they have a way forward to get concessions. All Sanders has done is to continually diss Hillary Clinton and provide ammunition for the Republican candidate. Sanders is so delusional that he thinks the Dems will toss aside Barney Frank, Sherrod Brown, and all the rest of the progressive Democrats. Claiming that Sanders has pushed Clinton to the left is not true. She has already held those positions. And
nice.
Go. What?
I like that letter.
Okay. And I bet you do. Michael says, nothing will change. Most can't even spell oligarchy. Never mind, define it.
And it was, the subject heading was guns.
Guns. Yeah. Okay. Okay, we did that one. Sorry about that. Jennifer says, Alan, can you not simply support Hillary? So much at stake with Trump on the run. Bring the community together. Could not somebody interpret whether Jennifer is saying that I'm not supporting Hillary now? Because I am.
Well, you keep touting your support of Bernie, but I think you're doing it to so that people are aware of inherent biases, as I do with
That's
Hillary.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
No, I was.
Yeah.
I was. I've been very honest about it right from the beginning. I voted for Bernie.
Yeah.
Now I think those people who think it's okay for Trump to win and somehow that'll bring down the system are just wrong.
Right. I do love our listeners, but it is funny that I've said repeatedly I'm for Hillary. I have been for years since she was First Lady, and people say, your biases are showing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. I want them to show.
So what?
Yes, I'm saying what
Alan.
I believe, so. Okay, we have about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Karen says, didn't his ex-wife say he had questions about his own sexuality? Perhaps it's a reaction against his inability to accept his own to accept his own homosexuality. If so, that should be the coverage and his, quote, legacy, not that it was ISIS-inspired. Well, there's room for both.
Well, I have to say, some of the worst gay bashers have the most incredible internalized homophobia, so I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders, says Christopher. Angry Bernie Sanders is as narcissistic as Donald Trump. He's the leader of a new movement. His agenda will have to be incorporated by Hillary. The bridge is Elizabeth Warren.
Nice letter.
Would you, before nominating her, Warren for vice president?
I wanted Warren. I was glad that Elizabeth Warren said she wanted to stay.
Yeah,
she'll
I'm
be more effective.
I would
totally have supported her. I would support Bernie if he were the candidate.
But you just a few seconds ago, not to be consistent, said that that you would not think that
not
the American people would put up with two women on the thing.
Yeah, I think that would be like too much for them to handle.
So isn't winning important?
Winning what?
Winning this election.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
Yeah.
Losing means Donald Trump is president. Oh, I'm horrified by that prospect.
Joseph says, Bernie is simply reminding Democrats how to be Democrats. Joe from Mansfield. Okay. All right. And Peter says, hi, panel. If you want one reason why many Bernie supporters are loath to support Clinton, start with the first sentence of a letter from a Hillary supporter began, I am so sick of Bernie supporters, etc. If Clinton wants to unify the party and gain the support of a primary rival, let's start with the language we use to discuss the vanquished candidate and his supporter. Wait a second, Peter.
Jeez.
There's a big difference between between what a letter writer says and what Hillary has been saying. She's literally been bending over backwards to pass the ball to Bernie and to honor him.
Okay, we are out of time. I want to thank everybody who called in. Obviously, we'll be talking much more about this in the days ahead, and also we will be covering it extensively throughout our news magazines as well as NPR, and certainly bring you any updates as they become available or are warranted. You can still write to us, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org.
Real fast letter. I'd vote for Trump 100 times over before Hillary or Sanders. I think we should ban Muslim immigration and leave gun rights as they are. I wanted to read that just to make sure that everybody understood we always read both sides.
Balance, fair and balanced.
All right.
Don't make me throw up.
Let's thank you very much. Rosemary, lovely to have you back. Libby, thank you for being here. Alan, thank you as always.
Okay,
we will return to the program after this short break.
Thanks a lot.